Bladyn Nowydd Da. That's Cornish for a Happy New Year. Just to steal a march on those who didn't use Cornish, Mark. The new year, isn't it great actually coming to church on January the 1st? And most of you have noticed that the King's Table is set, as some people call it, a communion table. And I think January the 1st is a particularly good day to be celebrating it. As you probably know, Janus, the Roman god Janus, is thought to be the one who's provided the name for January. He's the god of beginnings, gates, doorways, in Roman thinking. But he's always depicted as having two faces. I don't mean he's two-faced. He has two faces, one which is looking backwards and one that's looking forwards. The one looking backwards is reflecting on what's already happened. The one looking forwards is pondering perhaps what's going to happen. And this is a moment in the year when we often do that. And for Sue and myself, 2016 was a significant year. We became grandparents. We moved house. We thought we were moving 300 miles. We've actually moved 2 miles, so we're still here. And we saw God's hand on our lives in terms of that. But it hasn't all been positive. Several of my close relatives have had serious illnesses with spells in hospital. And worst of all, I lost a close friend this year. And we all miss him. Globally, 2016 has been a very mixed year as well. And I noticed that both the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Pope and other church leaders reflected on 2016 and were quite pessimistic about some of the things that they had come across, and predicted really that 2017 also has troubles ahead. But globally, the new year comes with lots of celebrations, doesn't it? We were woken up last night with some very loud fireworks from our neighbours. But I'd like us to think about it perhaps in a slightly different way. It's a good time for us all to look back and look forward. And you probably, like me, look back at 2016 with some, you know, strong pluses and some other things as well, and have views on 2017. I don't really know very much about what our 2017 is going to be like. Sue's going to have a significant birthday, and we're going to reach a milestone in our marriage. I won't tell you what number, but it's quite big. Oh, 35? Seems a lot. Is that right? I think it's 35. But most of 2017, we don't really know a great deal about, do we? Sue has a phrase which I know others use too. They refer to it as life's rich tapestry. Now, I'm not much of an expert on tapestry or any other kind of fabric for that matter, but I do understand, particularly from watching Sue making some new curtains last week, that you have to put an edge on things or else it gets a bit frayed and could come apart, which perhaps is a bit of a metaphor for life. And I was reading a psalm just the other day, Psalm 139, which has a really interesting link to what I've just said. You might think it's a bit tenuous. It didn't seem tenuous to me when I discovered it. Psalm 139. You've searched me, Lord, and you know me. And you know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. And you are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. To be hemmed in actually can be a negative thing, can't it? It's about being trapped and cornered. That's not the sense here. The sense here is that God has a border, a boundary, an edge for our lives. And just as I'm doing with this gesture, it's made with his hands. So there is a link between God and fabric, I guess. There's a poem that's been partly quoted here before called God Knows. And I think that's what this psalm is all about too. He knows us intimately. He knows what's happened in our past, what's going to happen in our future. He knows us intimately. This poem, I'll read a little bit of it in just a second, was one that was used by George VI at the first ever Christmas message. And apparently he was prompted by our Queen Elizabeth when she was 13, who pointed him in the direction of this poem. You may well know it by a different name. It's The Gate of the Year. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. I think therein lies one of the great secrets of human experience, a secret that so many don't discover, that life isn't about making the best job of a lot of unknowns. It's about grasping the hand of the one who does know, the one who puts the hem on our rich tapestry. And I think there's no better day for reflecting on what God means to us and making a recommitment than on the 1st of January. Joshua did that over 3,000 years ago, perhaps not on January the 1st, but he was faced with a choice, just as all the people of Israel were at the time. And Joshua said, he was a young man making a choice, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. At the heart of our faith, obviously, lies the cross. It's behind us up there. Without it, nothing else really matters. Everything else is really window dressing. That's why it's so appropriate, I think, to celebrate communion here together this morning. I don't know how many people there are in the building who will take communion this morning. 60, perhaps, maybe a bit more than that. But I think it's worth remembering that people around the world with Christian commitment are taking communion today. And if only 1 in 10 Christians around the world celebrate communion, that's 200 million people sat around our table. I think that's an amazing thought, well worth reminding ourselves of. As we come to the table, I want to remind you that there's two elements to it. I don't actually mean the bread and the wine. The two elements I'm thinking of are the individual element, our individual response to Christ, and the corporate element. It's a bit like coming to this table for a one-to-one with Jesus and also having a whole family celebration. The two things are bound up in these elements. I'd like us actually to read the passage that we usually read together, because this isn't me leading communion, it's us having communion together. You all know this particular reading, which is the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. The first half refers to the bread, and the second half, which will come up in a moment, it refers to the wine. But can we read this one together? For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we come to this your table at your command and at your invitation. You have said to do this in remembrance of you, so we come in obedience. The table speaks of your total and willing sacrifice for us. It reminds us of the wounds that bring healing, the blood that cleanses every stain of sin, and the death that brings us new life. We know that all who respond to your invitation in faith find forgiveness at the cross. On this first day of a new year, we remember, and we are grateful. Our response is to commit ourselves afresh to following you. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Please take and eat the bread as you receive it on an individual level, remembering that Christ died for you. Treat it as a one-to-one. Talk to him. Say you're sorry for the things that have gone wrong. Make your promises for the new year. And we'll do this without any music." There's a second part to that reading that we'll read together in just a moment. As the wine is being served, I've asked Malcolm to play a YouTube clip, which is a song which we have sung here once before, which I'd like to use after communion. We can stand and sing it together. It'll be familiar to some of you, but you'll get a preview of it during the serving of the wine. It means that the band can stay sat with their families and not have to come up onto the stage. So can we read this together as well? "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And can I ask that you hold the wine until we're all served so that we can drink together? Thank you. Malcolm, can we have the song? Thank you.